You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible. Oh, my mama. Oh, my mama made it, man. Anything's possible.
Rainy days, jump shot, fade away. This the best Celtics podcast day to day. I get excited about it every night about it. A real C's fan wouldn't want to live their life without it. Banner 18 in the making, we gotta make it. Best squad in the East and still we can't get complacent. Most winning franchise, so the history's ancient. You could tell them other guys to go and plan a vacation. Yeah, Corrales, Packard, and Jay King. Locked on, trying to get the 18th ring. The most in-depth coverage that you ever gonna hear. Well respected in the city like Russell's career. It's Raining Jay.
Hey there, welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast. I want to thank you all for making us part of your daily grind and taking us along with you. Wherever you go during the day, we're happy to be a part of it for a little while. We are the Raining Jays. I am John Corrales, joined by Jay King from The Athletic. You know, this is kind of a quiet time. This is a weird schedule the Celtics are on right now. In 8 days, they will have played like one game, two games in 9 days, or some crazy thing. So really just kind of slowly going through the motions in practice. Guys not saying a whole lot, but Jaylen Brown says he is healthy, ready to go. We're going to talk about Markelle Fultz. That stuff came out, but I kind of want to start, Jay, with the money quote of the day from Marcus Smart, who was talked about the toughness and said today, I'm constantly telling these guys that a lot of games we win aren't going to be pretty. If we're trying to be pretty, then this game isn't for you. You have to be willing to get your nose bloody. And that's just a classic Marcus Smart quote. And
the funny thing about it is he means it 100% seriously. Like, he's
100%.
Literally, he's ready to go get a bloody nose at all times.
He does not care about blood or getting hits. Or he just wants to go and make the right play. And if ever there was a quote that just kind of solidified, like the reactions from when I tweeted out, people are like, put the C on this guy's chest. Like, this is the guy. If we look at back on this Celtics season, I don't know how it's going to go, but if this is the turning point, if this is the time where the Celtics started to get it together and we can look back on this, like Marcus Smart is emerging again as one of the leaders on this team. Like, Kyrie is the leader because he's the best player, but Marcus Smart, with his energy coming into the starting lineup, with trying to impose this kind of will on the team, showing the guys that sticking with a play, and even if that means falling down and making a pass from your ass, like, Marcus Smart is just taking the reins and is one of the emotional leaders on this team.
I think it's always been like that, though. Even when he was younger, even when he was a rookie, even when he was in his second year, guys always look to him with a bit of awe about how he competes. And you would talk to, I mean, the Celtics have had a lot of tough guys through the years, like just tough guys everywhere from Jay Crowder to Isaiah Thomas, like just tough dudes everywhere. And all of them look up to how competitive and how fiery Marcus Smart is. There's kind of a belief, at least from a lot of the players I've talked to, like, holy crap, like Marcus Smart is different. Even in a locker room of tough guys, he's just willing to go to a different level than a lot of other guys are. And I think part of it is he's just smarter than a lot of guys are defensively. So it makes him look even tougher than he actually is physically. But when he says he'll get his nose bloody if it comes to that, like, he actually will. And it's also hilarious because the Celtics, they needed to fix their offense. They've needed to fix their offense for most of the season. And, you know, if you talk to Marcus Smart, it's always, we got to have our identity on the defensive end. And you talk to Al Horford, he's always like, I'm always just worried about defense. The offense will come around. It's like, guys, you got to learn how to put the ball in the bucket too. But to them, it's all related. And to them, the defensive part will keep them in games, even if they're not scoring like they should.
Yeah, but the defensive thing is what leads to those early easy buckets in transition. If they can get the stops and get out, then they can score the points. That's where Marcus Smart really can make the biggest impact. But the reason why I think that he's kind of your point is well taken, that he's always been this type of guy. But this season, with this start, with him being kind of like the focal point of the turnaround, I think it adds something. And maybe it doesn't. Maybe it's just too long of a season, and we're reacting to this one flashpoint. That happens throughout long seasons. But when we look back and write the story of the season, the Marcus Smart insertion into the lineup is going to be the first, at least, big positive thing that happened. And you're right. It's not that he's just smart on defense. It's that he's smart on offense. And he's the guy that can see things on offense that, you know, he can run a competent pick and roll, a very competent pick and roll. He understands the game. And maybe Marcus is kind of, I don't know if ironic is the right word, but because his name is Smart, we don't give him a lot of credit for his intelligence on the floor. We're always talking about his grit and all of the crazy shit that he does diving all over the place. He is an exceptionally intelligent player. To make the plays that he makes, he has to be intelligent enough to be in the right position to make those plays. But it is on both ends of the floor.
Yeah, there was a play. It was at the end of the third quarter, and the Timberwolves had an inbounds pass, and you could see him like for 5, 6, 7 seconds just barking orders at guys, like telling them where to be. And I shared a video of it on Twitter because it was very obvious. Like, holy, Marcus Smart is just like telling everybody where to be right now, and that stuff matters. And that stuff, I think, especially the way the Celtics are this season, or have been this season, to have a guy who brings that energy and who always, you know, Al Horford has always stressed that Marcus Smart has a super high basketball IQ. And after the first game Marcus Smart started, one of the things Kyrie Irving noted was that he's always in the right place. And I think too often the Celtics were pretty down on themselves for a stretch of games, that they weren't executing the game plan properly and they weren't doing the things they were supposed to do. And Marcus Smart is a guy who does that. And obviously you get frustrated sometimes when he takes heat checks, although he's kept those to a real minimum this year. But other than that, he's just a really, really smart player.
Yeah, he doesn't get enough credit for that. So this is us giving him the proper credit, I think. So Marcus Smart making a big difference in the Celtics starting lineup. And I guess the big question now is, what will the starting lineup be moving forward? It's something that we've been talking about. Jaylen Brown said he is healthy. We're going to talk about that after I implore you listeners who are small business owners, if you are looking for a new way to reach your customers, your company could be mentioned at this moment right here with me doing a live read that you provide for your company to reach our podcast listeners. Podcast listeners are 60% more likely to interact with sponsors that they hear on their podcasts. So they are engaged. They are listening to us. They want to interact with you. And our demographic, 98% men. 98% men. So if you need men, then you should email us at lockedonceltics@gmail.com. Podcast listeners have more education. Podcast listeners have more earning potential. Podcast listeners are more engaged. If you need men in that group, have your company sponsor this podcast, lockedonceltics@gmail.com. Brief comments today, Jay, from Jaylen Brown at practice, before practice. They held media availability before practice. Jaylen Brown says he's back. He's healthy. The back spasms have pretty much gone away. He's gone through a full workout. He went through a full workout on Monday, and he's feeling okay. No restrictions at practice. So Jaylen Brown coming back. We can only assume at this point that he's going to come off of the bench, but it's going to be interesting to see how they bring him in, how they use him off the bench, if indeed they do.
Yeah, I assume they're going to bring him off the bench. And I assume that only because they've won a few straight and actually have a winning streak. Shouts to the Celtics, who haven't had many of those this season. But so I think they'll stick with the lineup they've been going with and bring Jaylen Brown off the bench and have a bench of Gordon Hayward, Jaylen Brown, and Terry Rozier, which should be really freaking good, and Aaron Baines. You know, there's been some talk on Twitter I've seen about the numbers with Gordon Hayward and Jaylen Brown on the court together this season, and they haven't been good. And Jaylen Brown's numbers also, you know, just on off, haven't been good. I think a lot of that is just the starting lineup wasn't good, and most of the minutes they were playing was in that starting lineup. I haven't looked at the breakdown of how many minutes they shared that wasn't with that starting lineup, but I imagine it wasn't too many. And so the chemistry just hasn't been there all the time with the whole team. And I mean, theoretically, those guys should fit together, right? Like Hayward can make plays, Brown can spot up. But both of them have struggled so far, really as much as anybody. Maybe Rozier, but
you know, Rozier,
until recently for Hayward. Hayward's been really good lately.
Yeah. We don't talk about Rozier enough. And maybe we should start talking about Terry Rozier, because Terry Rozier has not had a very good season so far. And I think we just kind of accept that, you know, he's coming in, he's the backup point guard and whatnot, but he's really, really struggling. Now, the 8.2 points per game, he's not about really necessarily points per game, but his free throw shooting is down to under 70%, which is weird for him. His three-point shooting is down about 3 percentage points from last year. His overall shooting is down a few percentage points from last year. So he's hitting just 39.5% from two. And the bad shooting, I guess we shouldn't be too surprised, because Terry Rozier was never the most efficient shooter, but the fact that his free throw shooting has gotten so bad, I mean, 8 full percentage points lower than what we can normally expect, just makes me wonder if he's just really struggling with his role. We've seen him get burned defensively a lot. He came in against Minnesota, and Minnesota immediately went on a little bit of a run, and I can see people online kind of blaming him for a lot of the runs that other teams are making. Rozier is struggling, and
I can remember a few plays against Minnesota when he was really active and helped disrupt Derrick Rose drives in the pick and roll. So so that went both ways. I think, and he'd be the first one to tell you that part of being a playoff breakout guy and then going back to the bench has been tough, and it's been tough for everybody. It's not just him. Like, obviously every single person on the Celtics roster to some extent has dealt with it, but yeah, for him it's definitely like just a different, it's been a different world so far. And
I think,
and go ahead.
No, I think, or I guess I wonder here with Rozier, if the Gordon Hayward going to the bench and Jaylen Brown going to the bench, if that's something that's going to help him, because Gordon Hayward can be like the backup point guard. He's definitely the better facilitator by far than Rozier. With Rozier playing off the ball and then Jaylen Brown as a threat off the ball, that changes, I think, the dynamic a little bit, as opposed to him coming in and playing with Smart, who you can sag off of Smart. But sagging off of Smart with Smart as a starter doesn't really help much, because there's so much other floor spacing out there. Everyone else spaces the floor, so it doesn't matter necessarily that Smart that they lay off of Smart a little bit. And Smart, the way he's been shooting as a starter, maybe you can't lay off of him as much anymore. But with Rozier coming in, I wonder if having Jaylen and having Gordon as guys that share the floor with him and can space the floor and be dangerous, I wonder if that's something that's going to help Rozier be a little bit more efficient or be a little bit better. That maybe beyond just the energy in the starting lineup with Morris and with Smart there, the second unit, this bench with these guys, like you said when we started talking about this, should be really freaking good. Maybe this is the formula. Maybe this is the thing that kind of gets them all right.
Yeah. I mean, when you think about it, Hayward, Brown, and Rozier should be – they should fit really well together. And with Baines, that should be a feisty group, a group that can switch a lot, rebound really well, be dynamic, shoot well, theoretically, although some of those guys, most of those guys, all those guys haven't shot well so far this season. But I do think, like, theoretically, when you think of them, and I guess same thing with the starting lineup that didn't fit together too well, at least when it was playing together, I do think at some point Hayward's going to play well enough to start asking the question, like, when does he move back into the starting lineup? Should they move him back into the starting lineup? When does that happen? What does that look like? But for now, I think you stick with the group that's started lately and add Jaylen Brown to that bench. And I do think, like, it should fit, but who knows? Celtics have had some weird fit. I don't even know if it's fit. That's how weird this team has been. Like, is it fit questions? Is it just they weren't playing well? They needed to, like, 20 games of the season to humble them and let them know that their shit does stink and they need to rebuild habits? Or was it really, like, the parts of the roster weren't fitting? I find it hard to believe it was fit just because, like, when you think of all those guys together, it just makes a whole lot of sense theoretically, but they still have to show it. So we'll see.
You heard Jason Tatum in practice today. Tatum doesn't say a ton to the media, but he did say that, you know, he did use the phrase believing our own hype when we're talking about what was wrong with the Celtics. And for a team in general, like, most of these guys are pretty measured aside from, like, Marcus Morris. These guys choose their words pretty carefully. And for Tatum to say believing your own hype or believing our own hype was part of the problem, I think that says something. So maybe that's all it was. And that's kind of what we've been saying all along, is that there's not a reason for these guys to not do well together. It doesn't make sense for these guys to not play well together. They should. There was never any sort of effort thing going on, but it was just different guys with different goals. Like Kyrie, and I mentioned this in another podcast maybe yesterday, Kyrie saying that we had a bunch of guys, you know, out there trying to win, but win on their own terms. That also is telling. And to look at Tatum, I asked Tatum about it, and he kind of blew this off, but there's something to this, that over the past few games that Tatum has not taken as many pull-ups. He's taking a lot more catch and shoots. I'll repeat the numbers. For the season, 25% of his offense has been catch and shoot, while 40.6% has been pull-ups. Over the last three games, 36.6% have been catch and shoot, and 26.8% have been pull-ups. So a 14% drop in his pull-up jumpers and an 11% increase in his catch-and-shoot opportunities. So that says a lot about just kind of reshaping his offense, and I think it goes along to, you know, going back to the Knicks game when he got pulled for taking a long two. I think he's concentrating on that, and I think he's trying to play within the Celtics' style a little bit more. No matter what he says about the defense giving him or taking what the defense is giving him, I really do believe that he is trying to do what the Celtics need him to do, stop taking long twos, catch and shoot threes, and attacking the basket. So I think there's something to all of that stuff that Jason Tatum said.
Yeah. Yeah, I have to agree with you there, John. I had so much to add. So sometimes you're just such a good podcaster. I can't even.
I know it's hard. It's hard.
Can't even add anything.
It's hard. I should apologize.
No, I'm not gonna lie. I just got a text from my editor, and I was reading that while you were speaking.
It's fine.
And multitasking is so tough that I just agree with. I have no clue what I was agreeing with, to be honest. It could be literally anything. I hope it wasn't some bullshit, Because if it was, I wish I had called you out.
Well, you're going to have to listen to this podcast for once and see what I said, because I'm not repeating it. Even though I've probably recited that stat about three times so far this week. So it's my go-to stat so far this week. The statistic, by the way, Jay, is that I'm quantifiably more handsome than you are. That's what I was saying in that.
Some would argue.
Not many.
That's fair.
All right, we're going to take a short break. When we come back, Markelle Fultz talk. Breaking news with Markelle Fultz came down on Tuesday late afternoon. But first, a reminder that the Locked On Podcast Network is expanding significantly. We've got all of the NFL covered. So if you are an NFL football fan, go ahead and search for Locked On in your favorite team's name. I am a listener of Locked On Patriots. If you like another team, that podcast exists. We are also rapidly expanding in college, in baseball. So search for Locked On and look for your college name. If we do Alabama, they're going to talk about all Alabama sports. If we talk about Michigan, all the Wolverine sports, basketball, it's going to be football, it's going to be all of it. So search for the Locked On podcast of your desired college team, or maybe your alma mater or your favorite football team. It all exists. Search for that wherever you got the Locked On Celtics podcast. Jay King, we're all on WebMD trying to figure out what the hell thoracic outlet syndrome means, because that's apparently what Markelle Fultz has. That diagnosis was tweeted out by Adrian Wojnarowski. And that is apparently what the medical team, that all of the specialists that Markelle Fultz has gone to. We don't know how long it's going to take. We don't know exactly what it is, other than there's some sort of, as they describe it, compression, irritation in the area between the lower neck and the upper chest that can make the shooting motion somewhat painful, uncomfortable. And that is allegedly what has caused all of these issues with Markelle Fultz. So from a Celtics perspective, I mean, no one wants to see somebody go through something like this, but I just wonder if Danny Ainge kind of knew something was going on with this, if he knew that Markelle Fultz was trying to remake his shot and didn't want to deal with that. But what a mess this Markelle Fultz stuff has turned into.
Yeah, and I don't know whether it's good news, bad news, indifferent news. When you start bringing up nerve damage, that's scary to me, at least. And obviously, I'm no doctor. I don't really know what the hell all that stuff means, even though I did scoot over to WebMD and Mayo Clinic and all the other spots to try to figure out, like, at least a brief overview of what he's dealing with. You hope that with clarity, he can recover from this and become the player everyone thought he could become. Because when he was in the draft, man, oh my God, that kid was good. He was so talented, just an incredible playmaker. And he's dealt with a lot physically, from the sound of it, emotionally, over the last year and a half. Like, he's been the butt of jokes everywhere. He's had, like, everyone's been crapping on his shooting form. Everyone has been wondering what the hell's going on with him. And hopefully this will provide some clarity for him, because he is a guy I'll root for, because he's just been dealt just a tough hand with everything that's going on with this shoulder thing. And especially with all his talent, you hope that he'll be able to fit it together and really realize all that potential that everybody saw in him before the draft.
There's so many layers here. You just wonder, considering that his agent was characterized as his attorney at one point, which made it seem like there was some sort of legal kind of ramification to what was going on. I just wonder if the Philly medical staff is going to be kind of, if they're going to target that Philly medical staff for not understanding what this was and whatever. the fact that this has gotten this deep, and the fact that his team, it wasn't the Sixers that sent him for these tests. It was his team that went to go search out this diagnosis. And it's such a it's a rare diagnosis. It's not something that you hear, anybody's ever heard about. I've never heard about it from the people that are going to WebMD, and it says it's a rare condition. It's not something that is very common. I really don't know what the hell's going on. I'm with you in saying that just at some point you got to hope this guy gets it right. I personally hope Philly trades him. I hope he goes to like Phoenix and becomes part of a really good Phoenix team that medical staff over there puts him through the rehab. He is under less pressure and they go out west and rediscover his powers. And then Phoenix becomes a real powerhouse out west because they have some good young personnel, and I think they can figure something out. But Philly has, to our benefit, it cost them Jason Tatum, and in trying to recover from the Fultz injury, whatever this has been, it cost them Saric and it cost them Covington because they had to go out and get Jimmy Butler because Markelle Fultz couldn't be the third of their big three. So it's completely reshaped their team. This one move to get Fultz has completely reshaped their team. It cost them this draft pick potentially from the Sacramento Kings. I mean, this is a big deal for Philly. This could be the thing that keeps them from achieving the goal that championship level that they thought that they were on, because by getting Jimmy Butler, they've really thinned out their bench, and it's going to be hard for them to get all the way to the finals with a thinned out roster like that.
Yeah. Yeah. You're right about how much it reshaped everything for them and how much this is all, because everyone thought, even people who had questions about Fultz entering the draft thought he was going to be a top-notch playmaker in the NBA, because, I mean, you just look at the tape, he had everything. Size, he could get where he wanted, shot. Like, he hit 40-something percent of his three-pointers in college. Like, he was just so good. And if you added that to Simmons and Embiid, then boom, you have the young core. When he didn't pan out, they knew they needed more. And Brett Brown said it in the playoffs. You know, he's like, we needed to go out and try to use cap space. And they ended up getting Butler, trading for Butler early this season. But if Fultz had panned out, they could have been more patient with that, try to go after a star this summer. Who knows? Maybe they loaded one last summer or this past summer. You know, maybe they could have done that if Fultz had panned out and everybody looked at them and saw, you know, an even greater future than people already see in Philadelphia right now. So it really is like it's a wild, wild situation that has impacted so many teams. And when you think about really the fallout of this Fultz saga that isn't over yet, it has touched a lot of teams, including, you know, almost most of all outside of Philadelphia, the Celtics.
Yeah, it's the East may not be what we thought it was. It gives, and look, you can expand it out. Maybe it gives Milwaukee an opportunity to slide past Philly when it's all said and done. So it really is impactful in the East, and it just this one move, this one thing. And you think you can go back to basically any trade and say, well, if this didn't happen, then all these other things didn't happen. This whole butterfly effect. So we'll have to keep an eye on that. In the meantime, we hope that you keep an eye on the Locked On Celtics podcast. If you are a new listener, we very much appreciate you coming along and listening to this particular podcast. Hope you've enjoyed it enough to subscribe. Go ahead and do that. Search for Locked On Celtics wherever podcasts exist. Of course, our regular listeners, if you haven't given us that 5-star rating, please, please, please do that. Give us that good written review. It really, really helps. And when people ask you what podcast they should be listening to, tell them it's the Locked On Celtics, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.